I've watched two sessions of the Senate. I've watched one session sometime last week. I cannot remember the day. It was a few days after they had came back from their break. And the second session I watched December 10th. That was yesterday. Today is December 11th. And I took some notes on those sessions in regards to the stimulus talks and where people are at. I have some notes on what individuals said when they were addressing the stimulus. And I also have some opinions on it. So last week, McConnell came forth on the floor. Last week, McConnell came to the floor of the Senate and felt that that the Democrats were wrong for trying to link the Paycheck Protection Program to what he said were stimulus checks for illegals. He also felt it was wrong for the Democrats to tie the vaccine distribution and unemployment aid that he felt the Republicans were wanting to pass to programs that he said pay people not to work. So these are the unemployment programs. He also felt that the liability protection was of serious importance. Now, the Republican standpoint when it comes to the Paycheck Protection Program is that they want it limited to two separate categories. In one category, they want $165 billion to go toward businesses with under 300 employees. In another category, they want $25 billion to go to businesses with under 10 employees. Now, in July, and this was some months ago, in regards to these loan programs, Senator Rubio said that they would make a separate loan program aimed at helping, quote, seasonal businesses and those located in low-income communities, and that they would limit these loan programs to only $10 million. Now, to be quite honest, I do not think this is for small businesses. However, you should know that a small business, as classified by the Small Business Administration, is highly variable, and it depends on your industry that you are in. A small business can have revenues as much as $35 million and employees of 1,500. So there's a lot of variability in what counts as a small business. So legally, technically, these can be classified as small business loans. But I think most people have an idea of what a small business is, and it's not anything close to what the SBA says it is. You look at somebody who owns a hair salon. You look at somebody who owns a restaurant. You look at somebody who has their own plumbing or roofing business. You look at somebody who's running a franchise, right? All of these people in your mind are small business owners. And I'm not entirely sure, given their track record so far, that any of these PPP loans are going to go towards them at all. In that session, Senator Mastow urged Mitch McConnell to bring the $908 billion stimulus framework to the floor of the Senate. And Senator Mastow makes a note that McConnell has a habit of getting Republicans together to draft bills, and they bypass other committees, and they also bypass any kind of Democratic input and forces them to the floor for a vote. So, and from the Democrats' perspective, they cannot vote on bills in which they have not been given any input, and they will not vote on bills in which they have not been given input. I can understand that. At that time when they were having this session, Schumer and Pelosi said they sent a proposal to Mitch McConnell a few days ago. However, they did not get a response from him. In fact, McConnell actually went around again, working with certain Republicans and the president to draft another bill to bring towards the floor. He wasn't getting input from anybody, and that's where things left off. McConnell was working on his own stimulus bills. He wasn't really getting input from other people in the Senate, particularly Democrats, and he wasn't interested in anything that Schumer or Pelosi had to say. Pelosi had a conference around this time in which she stated that she and Schumer did support the $908 billion framework as a starting point. She wanted to pass it with the omnibus bill. So the omnibus bill is the bill that they eventually have to pass so that government can be funded. And they wanted to pass the stimulus and the omnibus bill together. She said she was willing to back down from the $2 trillion mark due to the fact that the vaccine has pretty much around the corner and Biden was elected to be president. Now, I interpreted all this to mean that she had a bit more confidence in the situation because the circumstances had pretty much switched to her favor. I think she just feels a little bit more confident in Biden's ability to get these types of bills passed because he's at president and there's a little bit more political pressure on the Republicans. That is what I think she meant. Now, there have been other interpretations to those statements. Some people have argued that this is just evidence of the fact that Pelosi has been playing politics and she was never willing to negotiate with the Republicans in good faith. And they bring up the fact that Trump put forth a $1.8 trillion plan to her sometime, I can't remember the month. It was some time ago. At that time, she did say no, primarily because she did not felt that it had enough provisions in it to handle vaccine distribution. That was her sticking point at that time with that bill. It should be noted, however, that McConnell also said he had no interest in bringing that bill to the floor of the Senate. So while I understand that some of you may not like Pelosi, that's your business, I do not understand how you can put any type of blame on her in regards to why this thing is stalled. Because from what I'm hearing, the issue isn't with the House and how the House is operating. The issue is primarily with the Senate. So in order to discuss the Senate in a little bit more depth, let's go to yesterday, which was December 10th. On December 10th, Mitch McConnell went to the floor to argue again heavily for the liability protection for businesses. He believes that they will benefit small businesses and colleges. He says that there are over 1,500 lawsuits, liability lawsuits being filed at the moment in the nation, and that's why the Senate needs to consider putting this inside the stimulus package. Schumer got up to speak some time later. Now, he argues that there is a divide in the media. So the media says Republicans want liability, Democrats want states. That's the narrative that has been at play for some time. But he says that these are not equivalent in importance. Schumer argues that state and local aid actually has some bipartisan support, while the liability protection is primarily from Republican areas. So not too many Democrats are keen on liability protection. He also said that there were only 20 personal injury lawsuits in the entire United States to which these liability laws would actually apply. So in his mind, he said you're a solution in search of a problem. Like there's no real issue going on. There's no point in us spending time, effort, or energy trying to fix a problem that's not a problem. He believes that state aid will offer the most bang for the buck when it comes to spending. And he proceeded to make an impassioned plea for state and local aid to be included in stimulus packages, which is an indication that it's not as bipartisan as he wanted people to believe, that there is still some Republican resistance when it comes to providing states and local agencies with more money. Senator Sanders got up and he spoke. Sanders planned to offer an amendment to the continuing resolution to fund government, and the amendment to the resolution would offer direct stimulus payments to the people. So that's that $1,200 check. So right now, the Senate needs to pass a budget. They have not passed the budget yet, so they're at a point where they've kind of met these deadlines and they need to pass what is called a continuing resolution. So the continuing resolution would fund them for 1 week. They're trying to do these incremental bills. So he wants to put an amendment on that continuing resolution, which would theoretically take effect within a few weeks if it's passed. He argues that most of the money for the new bill, this new $908 billion framework that was being offered up, the bipartisan framework, he argues that most of that money for that bill is actually coming from money that was unspent from the original stimulus. So the stimulus they passed in spring, the CARES Act, had some unspent money. So they're rolling that money over into this new stimulus bill. And he's saying that there are only $300 billion in new spending in this new bipartisan compromise, and he's not a particular fan of that. He actually argued that the House passed a $3.4 trillion bill. In his opinion, this 10% in new spending is unacceptable. He also mentions that this framework has a lack of direct stimulus payments and that the unemployment benefits have essentially been cut in half. So the original CARES Act, you can get up to $600 a week. In this act, you got about $300 additional maybe. So as I stated before, a lot of the hitching is not with the House Democrats or the House Republicans. The House has already passed their bills. The House is actually taking care of a lot of a business that they haven't. The issue right now is with the Senate. The Senate has not passed their bills. So we're going to go on to, he was a senator from Utah. His name is Lee. Senator Lee got on the floor to argue about these spending bills that were being negotiated. He felt that they were being negotiated in the dark with these small groups of individuals and that they were being pushed to the floor for a last-minute vote. What this basically means is that it doesn't give them much time to actively read the bill, because he said he'll be in his office, he'll get an email about the bill in less than 24 hours they have to vote, but the bill itself is 2,000 pages. That's a lot to read through. Even a good book gets boring if it's 500 pages. You're not going to read through 2,000 pages even if you have your most favorite author on it. It's too much, right? So it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort to dig through that to really understand where the money's going, how it's being spent, and they're not giving them enough time to do so. And this has been a problem, he's saying, for some years in the Congress. The Senate. It's been a problem in the Senate. And he would like a process that is more transparent and a change in how they schedule votes. He basically just wants to be able to look at spending bills, discuss them, and vote on them. He wants to have what the Democrats want. They want some input on these things. So let's go to Senator Leahy. Senator Leahy has been working with Senator Shelby, who is a Republican. Leahy's a Democrat. And they've been working in the Appropriations Committee. They have been working on these spending bills. They have been working this entire year. He makes a point that the House has already passed most of their spending bills by summer. So the House is on track when it comes to passing their spending budgets and their spending bills. The Senate, on the other hand, he argues, has not been voting on their appropriation bills like the House has. Instead, the primary issues that are being brought to the floor are by Mitch McConnell, and they are not for spending bills, which Congress should be working on. They are for voting on judges. And I've said in the past, Mitch McConnell is really focused on pushing judges, as many judges as he can, through before January 20th. He does not like this continuing resolution nonsense. He believes that it puts government on autopilot. He says that whereas they would have the ability to address long-term decisions via appropriations bills throughout the year, a continuing resolution is more of a rushed bill that provides a certain amount of spending for areas, and if a special circumstance comes up, if the continuing resolution does not cover it properly, then it will not get funded until Congress returns. So he's not a fan of how things have been operating. They've had appropriations bills that they could have been voting on for these past 6-7 months. However, for whatever reason, they're not voting on their own spending bills, which is why they're stuck at the last minute trying to pass a budget. And they can't make anything happen because, again, according to Senator Lee, you got a bunch of people working in the back by themselves, pushing bills to the floor at the last minute and expecting everybody to just go vote for it. Now, Senator Shelby got up. Senator Shelby is a Republican. Senator Shelby did not mention Mitch McConnell by name. He did not mention any of these shenanigans in the same way that Senator Lee did, but he did agree with Senator Leahy about how things are being done when it comes to appropriations bills, these spending bills that they have to vote on. He's not a fan of this thing. So this is why I'm saying to you, as much as people are trying to make Nancy Pelosi the enemy in this argument, she's not. Primarily because she's in the House, okay? They're separate for a reason. She's the House, at least from the Senate side, seems to be doing the bulk of his job. They're arguing bills, they're passing bills, they're passing their spending bills, they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're actually on track in the House. The issue is the Senate. So for as much as people want to be upset with Pelosi for not negotiating with the Republicans, how do you negotiate with what is obviously a dysfunctional situation? Democrats are upset by it. Republicans are upset by it because they do not feel that they have any input into what is actually going on in the Senate and getting these bills passed. Think about it like this. Congress passed the CARES Act. Okay, it's a lot of money. McConnell refuses to bring the bill to the floor. Trump gets involved some months later, gets a $1.8 trillion package together. He sends it off. Nancy says no, but in the same way, Mitch McConnell also said he's not going to entertain this package. So that's out the door. They go on break, they come back. Pelosi and Schumer, we don't know what was in their letter, but they sent him a letter stating this is what we're willing to work on. McConnell ignored their letter and started working on his own bill yet again. Then we get notice that there is a bipartisan framework in place with Democrats and Republicans signing off on it, and Mitch McConnell still has not brought that legislation to the floor. He is primarily focused on his own spending bills that he has already signed off on. You cannot negotiate with that type of person. I'm sorry. It is painfully evident to me by his own actions. Mitch McConnell wants to pass the bills that he wants to pass. He's not interested in input from the Democrats for damn sure. He doesn't even seem to be interested in input from the Republican side either, because he's not talking to them. They're having a problem with it. So how can Nancy Pelosi negotiate with Republicans when the primary issue is in the Senate and the person she needs to negotiate with has no interest in negotiation? All you gotta do is look at the man's actions. And I don't wanna beat up on McConnell, but I just gotta be honest. I'm not saying Pelosi and the rest of them do not play politics. I do think there is a lot of calculation and moves when it comes to them. But I'm just looking at how things have worked. And I'm looking at individuals who I see are at least trying to put forth their best faith effort, right? I've seen Republicans do it so far. I've seen Democrats do it. The only person who's not putting forth a good faith effort is Mitch McConnell. That's it.